Grace and peace to you all from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you may remember from your high school days, fellow students who tended to be very noticeable. Maybe it was you. But if it wasn't, you know who they were. Maybe you remember their names, what they said at the graduation speech, perhaps what they did, homecoming king or queen, captain of this or that team, the one who always won debates, always won accolades for their research, their poetry, always got the leading role in the school play, in the orchestra. It doesn't matter if you're into athletics, into the scholarly side of things, into theater or music, there always is someone who becomes the focus of so many people. And I'm sure our middle and high school students here at Zion probably know a few students who might qualify for this. When we see or hear these people, what tends to happen? A few things might happen. We might admire them for their talent. They are doing what few people can do, and they do it well. What they do or what they say is impressive, and you give them their due. They are articulate, brave, a genius, or just simply very talented. And on the other hand, perhaps we might loathe those kinds of people or become especially jealous of them. We say to ourselves, well, I'm just as good as they are. If anyone would just take notice of me and my gifts, I'd be up the one there getting everyone's attention. And this kind of mindset can happen anywhere. School, the workplace, politics, certainly in the church. Now, when we look at our passage for today from Luke chapter 4, what do you see and hear? Well, you see and you hear that Jesus is the center of everyone's attention. This was, we are told, his custom. He has done this before, going in front of the congregation, reading from the scriptures, preaching from the scriptures, but what he says on this particular Sabbath day causes both admiration and loathing, and maybe no small amount of jealousy. You see, when Jesus would talk about the scriptures, everything was fine and dandy. The people could stand aloof from what he said, but something was different this day. Instead of Jesus talking about the scriptures, about God, how this word means this or that word means that, he talked about how the scriptures were all about him. And how this particular prophecy that the Lord gave to Isaiah 700 years before was all about him. It's a dramatic scene. Jesus receives the scroll from the attendant. He unrolls it in front of everyone. These would be big, hefty scrolls. And he finds the passage going from right to left in the Hebrew, finding the passage in Isaiah 61 that he wants to reference. And what does he say? He reads from the prophet, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he says. "The Lord has anointed me," he is so bold to say. Now, he is anointed and chosen for what? To preach, to heal, to forgive, to proclaim that this is the year of the Lord's favor. But just as dramatic is how the crowd, the hometown crowd, reacts to him, Jesus is at the center of everyone's attention. Remember, this is Nazareth. Jesus has been there his whole life, about 30 years. They knew Jesus. They likely knew the interesting events that surrounded his birth. They likely heard the story of Jesus going to the temple, being lost for 3 days as his parents were worried sick. And maybe they heard about how Jesus recently went to the Jordan River to be baptized by that religious zealot, John the Baptist. We hear this hometown crowd as they listen to their hometown boy. At first, they marveled at his gracious words. He spoke and they were captivated. They hung on every word he said. Some weren't impressed. They knew Joseph. He wasn't anything particularly special, just a carpenter, just like Jesus. But that wasn't all. Jesus continues to tell them that the Lord has chosen him to do all these wonderful things, to preach, to forgive, to heal, to give sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, but he was not going to do it there. Not in Nazareth. And so what we see going on here in Nazareth is setting the stage for what will happen later in another city, Jerusalem. Jesus will be admired and adored for what he says, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, a humble king, overturning the tables in the Lord's temple. But he'll also be the center of attention as he is tried as a criminal, a traitor, and in short order put on a cross to be crucified. Now, as your pastors, know that we do not desire to be the center of attention. That's not our job. That always and ever will belong to Jesus. He is the one. He is the Word become flesh, the desire of all the nations. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away your sins. No, we come before you as men with a burden of the Word of the Lord, as Malachi so put it. That beautiful yet at times painful word which reveals us for the sinners that we are. A word that is to drive you to your Lord Jesus Christ. The word that will also provide balm for your wounded soul. A word that is supposed to be at the center of your attention. This word comes to you as law. A hammer that crushes the sin in your heart. The idols you may hold so dear. Jesus preached the law from Isaiah 61. After all, if people are blind to sin, oppressed by guilt and shame, and are told as much, their skin might begin to crawl. Their heart begins to rise in their chest, and they think, well, no, I'm just fine. You might be talking about somebody else, Jesus, but not me. Some thought Jesus' words were gracious. And maybe they said, well, this God knows me. He's not ashamed of me. He wants to bless and forgive. He wants to heal me. What a wonderful word. But others thought Jesus' words were idle, uninspiring, offensive. They were cut to their core, but unlike the people of Israel who we heard about in Nehemiah, when Ezra read the law of God and they were broke down into tears, they weren't moved. But also in this sermon from Isaiah 61, where Jesus points everyone again to himself. This is all about me, folks. This word has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus preaches the gospel. He is the one, the chosen one, the anointed one. He is the center of the Heavenly Father's attention, who the Father sends this day to you to bestow his favor. And why else do we end worship the way that we do, week in and week out? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. We say that so you won't forget. Because in Jesus you have the Father's heart. In Jesus you have favor with God. In Jesus and only in Jesus is God for you. And so this day and every Lord's Day, God summons, invites, beckons, demands that you have and keep Jesus as the center of your attention. This day and every Lord's Day is a day of visitation, just like it was for Nazareth 2,000 years ago. This is because this day and every Lord's Day is a day in which we not only hear about God, but hear God speak to you here and now in person. The very word of God now rattling around in your ears, trying to find its way into your heart. The very word of God that will be placed in your hands and will be brought to your lips that you would taste and see that the Lord is good. The very word of God who is Jesus, the one upon whom the Holy Spirit has come to preach to you, to set you free, to give you sight, to share in your sufferings, to atone for your sins, to end in you all that is opposed to God's gracious, rule and reign of grace. So that as Jesus says elsewhere, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Thanks be to God, Jesus is the center of attention. Him and Him alone. Amen.